Just because Jesus is super excited, he'll say hello one more time. Well, I'm just glad that this is like a dub over and not what Jesus actually said, because one, I love football, and if I was not allowed to watch the Seahawks after church today, I'd be pretty sad. Also, on a maybe more important note, this is the most beard I can grow. This is like 4 days worth, and that's pretty pathetic, but it's okay. I'll survive somehow. Anyways, I'm glad you guys are all here. If you guys don't know me, my name is Kyle, and I'm on staff here at High Point. So last week, Gary finished up a series about God's will and how we can sort of find out what God's will is for our life. And this year, we're starting a brand new series called Dumb Things We Believe. So I was thinking, and like, what are some dumb things that I've believed or that I hear other people believe? Just to kind of get in the spirit of what we're talking about. And the first one is aliens, right? Good, none of you guys believe in aliens. Cool. Aliens are a joke. I don't know. I like Star Wars. I like space movies about aliens, but I don't think they're real, so that's okay. This is a dumb thing that I believe personally, and I fall into this trap every year in April when baseball season starts. Because I love the Seattle Mariners so much, right? Any other Mariners fans out there? Okay, so there's like four of you. Okay, I'm not alone. Awesome. So the Mariners, they were like really good when I was like a little kid. And so I was just like, oh man, I love going to Mariners games. I love watching all this kind of stuff. And they've just been bad for like a really long time. So the dumb thing that I believe is that they're going to be good next year. Every year I say that. So the postseason's going on right now. In a few weeks, I'll be like, oh man, the Mariners, they made some good trades. They've got some good prospects. Oh, they're going to be so good this year. And I know that's a dumb thing, because then come next season, they're just going to lose to everybody. So that's okay. And the last thing is actually straight from our very own Matt Haley. And it's an acne cure. And so I didn't get permission from Matt, but I'm going to say it anyways. So one thing that Matt used to believe, and I may have also done this too when I was in high school, is taking toothpaste, rubbing that on zits. Because apparently that's supposed to work. But toothpaste is for your teeth, not for your face. So that's something that he and I both struggle with, but that's okay. The next thing I want to focus on, we'll get to the content eventually, but look at the artwork. How cool is the artwork right now? You guys can just enjoy this for a second. So Jordan Merck, who creates some of our artwork and does some stuff in the office sometimes, made this artwork, and he was like so impressed with it on Tuesday that we're sitting in our chairs on Tuesday, and he kind of leans over and he goes, dude, Kyle, check out this artwork. This is the coolest thing ever. And I was actually really impressed. And but more than just being impressed with the artwork, I found out that Jordan now has more talents than just like singing. So that's cool that he's branching out and learning some new things. So that's cool. But anyways, this week, the dumb thing we believe that we're going to talk about today is the difference between being a Christian and being a disciple. Okay, those two things are different, and we're going to talk about that today. So just to make it super clear, I made it a fill-in. So that's your first fill-in, is that being a Christian is different than being a disciple. So sometimes we're like, whoa, what? Christians and disciples are different? Because in the Bible, when we're reading through the Gospels and things like that, when we hear Jesus talking to his disciples and about his disciples, we go, oh, that's me. I'm one of those disciples. But a lot of times that we are a lot more like people who would just come listen to Jesus speak, and we're a lot not nearly as much like his disciples. So we want to talk about that today. So just to make the difference really clear, I looked up the definitions to the words. And yes, I may have gone to college and I may have graduated, but I didn't learn very much, so that's why I have to look stuff up. But the first one is the definition of being a Christian, and that's also on your fill-in sheet just to write it down. It says that a Christian is someone who says they believe. Okay, it's someone who professes that they believe, that says they believe in the teachings of Jesus, that says they believe in Jesus, that they agree with his teachings, that they know that he is perfect, and that we are not perfect, and that we need him to save us. That's what being a Christian is saying that we believe those things. Versus a disciple, which is the next definition, a disciple is someone who actually acts like they believe. So someone who not only accepts the teachings of someone, but then works to make them more famous and make them more well-known. So I want to throw up these definitions early because we're not going to talk about them today, and if you want to, you can look back up top if you'd like. So like I said, being a Christian is verbal. Being a Christian is verbal. I just have a bunch of fill-ins in a row just to keep you guys busy and entertained, I guess. And I'm not very good at like portioning out them, so they're all together. That's okay. So being a Christian is verbal, right? So when you become a Christian, when you decide to take that step and to give your life to Jesus. It's a prayer, right? You pray, you say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need help. I need you to save my life. I need you to take the sin out of my life because you're perfect. And because Jesus died on the cross for us, we can pray that prayer to him, and then we become saved. It's a prayer we say. Sometimes we say it out loud. A lot of times we pray it silently, but it's verbal. And it's something just between us and Jesus. So being verbal is the first step to commitment, right? Saying that prayer to Jesus is the first step to commitment. And being verbal with anything, it's just saying you're going to do something is the first step. But sometimes, even though we're verbal, we don't always follow through with what we've said. So last week, for instance, I said I was going to take Gary and Lindsay to the airport. They went on vacation. And they asked me on Saturday night, like, hey, Kyle, can you drive us to the airport? And I was like, oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, all right, that's fine. Like, they gave me a free donut. So I was like, oh, well, free donut, driving to Seattle. That's fine. But normally what I like to do on Sundays after church and after teardown to lunch is I go home and I crash on the couch and I sleep for like an hour because that's my favorite thing to do on Sundays. And so what I easily could have done and what I kind of did a little bit is I was like, yeah, Gary, sure, I'll take you to the airport, whatever. And then I went home and I fell asleep anyways. But luckily, don't worry, they woke me up and I still took them to the airport. So that was all okay. But if I had just said, yeah, Gary, Lindsay, I'll take you guys to the airport, no worries. And then I had slept through or I had not followed through and not taken them, they would have been out of a ride. So they would have either had to find a different ride or like miss their flight or be late or something like that. So if we don't follow through with what we say, or we don't always follow through with different things that we say, because it can be pretty easy to look like a Christian, like to say you're a Christian. And in our culture today, it can be easy to make it seem like you're a Christian just through like words and things like that. And one of those ways is through social media. So I'm not usually like a big, huge social media guy. Like if you like are friends with me on Facebook, like I post something like maybe once a week about group life, and then I'll post stuff in like February about Summit, and then in the summer times about camp, and that's really about it. I'm not a huge social networker. I'm just not that creative. I'm not funny enough to post tweets online and things like that. But I did come across a tweet the other day that stuck out to me. And it said that social media makes it easy to talk a good game while living a life that looks nothing like your well-chosen words. And then it's got a little thing on the side that says obedience is greater than lip service. So it says it's really easy for us to put out on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, that we are Christians. Because we can post cool things, especially on Instagram, this is really easy. Because you just, you know, like, you take out your phone, and you, like, snap a picture of the sunset, and then you go on to VscoCam or whatever app you want to use, and you select a really cool filter, and then with another app you put on, I don't know if you guys have seen them, but you can, like, put words on the picture in really cool fonts. Some of you guys have seen that? I've seen it. I'm kind of, it's whatever. I may have posted at least one of these pictures, but that's okay. But so you put that on there, and you put a hashtag that's like, hashtag God is so good. Hashtag saved by grace. And you post it on the internet, and people go, oh man, oh, they're such a good Christian. They're able to use their smartphone. That's really cool. And so it's really easy for us to post things like that online and to appear that we have it all together. But really, truly deep down, do those posts, do those words even mean anything to you? Is that anything you're actually living by, or is that just lip service to the fact that you're a Christian, or are you just saying and posting online that you're a Christian? So, does it help at all to just say something? Does it help at all to just say you like something, to say you agree with something, versus taking action? So like I said earlier, at the top of your little fill-in sheet with the definitions, being a Christian is verbal. And the main difference right here is that a disciple is action, like we said, a disciple is acting, and that when disciples are called to actions, disciples respond. And that's your next fill-in. I think respond is the gap there. So being a disciple is an action. Right? Oh, there it is. Perfect. Being a disciple is not passive. It's not something that you just kind of sit and being a disciple just happens. It's a response you have to being called to action. So Jesus talks a lot about this. He talks a lot about going and taking action. So he describes this at least one time in John chapter 8. So it says, if you hear my voice and abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. So abide, I had to look that up too. Big surprise. So abide means to remain with or to stay with. So it's to follow. Jesus says, if you hear my voice and follow my words and listen to my words, you are truly my disciples. And that's the difference. Because if you look and if you just hear my voice, if you hear my call, that's being a Christian. Because you respond to that call through the prayer. But if you abide in Jesus' word, if you listen to his word, if you follow his words, that's what it takes to be a disciple. It's been really fun. I've been at High Point for about 2.5 years, and it's been really fun to see a lot of you guys respond in this way. One of those guys is Michael Overholz. I think he's in junior high today, which is fine because I'm going to talk about him. So Michael, if you guys have heard his story at all, he, like a lot of guys, myself included, came to church because of a girl. And that's one of the reasons I started going back to church was because of a girl. So I started coming to church just because of a girl invited him. And so there's nothing wrong with that. He came to High Point, started liking it more and more, got a little bit more involved. And then some crazy things in his life happened. And yes, this one I actually asked about. But then Michael had a scare with cancer. And he was kind of like, oh man, like I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going on with my life. I don't know. And that was when he was talking to me about it. And he said that was a moment where God really became real to him. And he was like, God, I need you to heal me. I know I'm not like strong enough to do this. And so I need your help. And I need you to heal me. And ultimately through all of that, Michael was completely cured of his cancer. It had all just vanished away. And so after that, Michael was like, all right, it's time for me to respond. It's time for me to take a step forward and become a disciple. And so it's been really fun to watch Michael get really involved. He was an intern last year. He's been super involved in the setup team and in junior high. And I've loved just getting a chance to work with him. And there's a bunch of stories out there in our youth group of students, not just listening, not just hearing the call, but going forward and following through with it. Because remember, like we said above, being a disciple is someone who acts and responds to what Jesus says, not just someone who hears. So last week, we're going to throw back a little bit. Gary talked about God's will, right? And Gary talked about how God's will is revealed through taking small steps. The way that God reveals his will isn't I go, hey God, I really want you to show me the plan for the rest of my life. And God goes, all right, Kyle, here it is. This is what the rest of your life is going to look like. God goes, no, take one step. I'm going to lead you one step at a time and help you follow all the way through. And if you're sort of looking for that, well, what's the next step in my life? Like, what am I going to try and do? What's God have next? God wants us to become a disciple, and that's your next step. Becoming a disciple is a step. So this is completely unrelated, but I have a cold, so sorry if I'm sniffling into this mic. I hope you guys just really enjoy my mucus. Sounds awesome. So becoming a disciple is a step. It's a step that we have to take. We have to choose to take. It's not just going to happen to us. And so Jesus describes this step for us really clearly. And usually, like when Jesus says something, it's pretty important to cue in on what he says because, you know, like he's God, and so he probably knows what's going on. So he describes this step for us in Matthew. He says, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. Other translations say that if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being my disciple. So the pretty obvious question is, well, what is taking up my cross? I have a cross necklace and I carry that around all day. Is that taking up my cross? No, unfortunately not. What it means, what the picture that Jesus is trying to paint here, it says that you have to follow me publicly. Jesus says, if you aren't willing to follow me publicly, you're not worthy of being mine. You're not worthy of being my disciple. Because the picture is that back in the day, when you were going to go be crucified, you would literally have to carry the wooden cross on your shoulder from wherever they just decided it was going to be, and you had to carry it all the way to where they were going to kill you. So it was super public, it was really open, and like people didn't just like carry wood around for fun. And so it's not like, you couldn't just hide it. It's like, oh no, I'm not going to be crucified. I'm not going to die. I'm just hauling this big, huge log around just because it's fun. People didn't do that. It was really obvious what was going on. And if you're going to be crucified, it was not a good way. Not that there's like a good way to die, but it was a very shameful way to die, as if you were like a really bad criminal or somebody who was really evil. That's what they did. And so when people saw you carrying your cross, they're like, that person is really bad. Like, that person killed a lot of people, stole a lot of stuff, was really just nasty. And so that's the image that gets put out. Jesus says that he's foreshadowing a little bit, obviously, but he says, I'm going to carry my cross, and you have to follow me publicly, saying that you are my disciple. You have to take that step and get your faith out in the open. You can't just pray that prayer silently between you and Jesus and call that good. You have to express your faith. You have to talk about it, and you have to move forward with it. Because, like, imagine if how you displayed being a Christian was you actually, like, carried a cross around with you. Like, imagine trying to, like, get in the doors to get to school. Like, how hard would that be? You have this big, huge, like, mangly piece of wood, and you try and, like, walk through the front door, and you have to, like, slide it sideways and, like, wiggle in, and, you know, your shoulder would be all sore all the time. And, like, if you ever had to go up an elevator, like, good luck. Because then you'd have to take the stairs, right? And that would just be no fun. So everything would be one story. Whatever. So, but we may not have to carry, like, a real cross with us, thankfully, because that would be really heavy. But we do need to act in a way that shows that we do truly believe. You have to get your faith out in the open. You have to actually talk about it. And one of those ways that we like to offer here is through a My Story video. Some of you guys who have been here for a little while may have seen them. It's just where students get a chance to go just kind of share their story, share what's happened in their life, share how God and High Point and different friends have changed who they are. Like Michael, for instance, he made a video. Rachel Kylo has made one. There's just a variety of students out there who've all made them. They're all on our website, and they're really cool. And it's such an awesome way for you guys to just share your story out in the open. So if you are interested in that, if you're interested in making your faith public in that aspect, go ahead and write My Story on the back of your comm card, and we'll follow up with you and get a date set for that. All right, so big picture. What's next? Kyle, I want to make the step to becoming a disciple. I want to make a change. What do I do? How do I do it? How are people going to know that I'm a disciple? So again, big surprise, Jesus talked about this again, and he's super clear. We're back in John, and he talks about it again. He says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other. So go ahead and underline love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So what's the commandment? What's the commandment? What are we supposed to do? Love each other. Yeah, it's huge. The mark of being a disciple is love. And that's your next fill-in. The mark of a disciple is love. Tissue so bad. All right. So it's cool to see this played out in my life and in the lives of all of you guys. So for some of you guys who know my story, I was a Christian growing up all through high school, things like that. And then in college, I fell away from being in church. I didn't ever get plugged in anywhere. And I basically quit being a Christian. I didn't really follow. I wasn't really doing anything at all. I was basically just calling myself a Christian. I was over here. I was just saying, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. But that was it. That was the only thing that I was doing. And sometimes I wasn't even doing that. There's one of my buddies from school. His name was Jeff. He was one of those guys who I knew him long before he knew me. Because he sat, this was his like marker at our school. He sat in the same seat every day in our student union building, in like our cafeteria. Every single day, he sat in the same spot and talked to anybody who walked by him. Because he was a Christian leader on campus. He led a Bible study and things like that. And so he sat out in the open, and just people would come talk to him. Just passing by, whatever, through their homework, or through, like, while he was doing his homework, he would talk to people. And so then I met him through some other friends, and, like, would just kind of, like, wave at him sometimes I walk by, because I'm kind of awkward when I meet new people, and I wasn't, you know, just going to walk and be like, hey, I met you like one time. Let's be best friends. I can't really do that. So I kind of did like the awkward, like, hey man, how's it going? Okay, I'll see you later thing a bunch. But it was cool because then when I was starting to try and take more steps back towards becoming a disciple, he was one of the first guys who gave me some opportunities to start back moving forward. One of the things is like my living situation. Like I was going to move off campus. I didn't have a good house to go to. I didn't have a healthy group of people to live with. I was just going to live with a bunch of guys who were going to keep pulling me away farther and farther and farther away from church. And so I was kind of talking to Jeff about that. And he's like, oh, so you need a place to live next year? He's like, well, like my house has an extra room. You can just stay there. Like without even thinking, he just offered up a room in his house to try and help me move forward in my faith. And that was such a cool thing to have happen to me as somebody who was trying to sort of figure out, well, what's next in my life? Like, what am I supposed to do? Just to have somebody, oh, Nicole, you're so wonderful. Everybody give it up for Nicole. Hang on a second. Ah, sweet relief. Sorry, that's kind of gross. That's okay. You guys will get over it. But it was just such a cool mark to see that in my life of just him seeing a need and just loving me so much that he was just going to offer up a room in his house to me. And it was so cool to see that played out. And that's the mark of a disciple. That's the mark of somebody who really, truly, unconditionally just loves other people. Now, on the flip side, I'm sure you have come across some people who may call themselves Christians, but they're pretty mean. And they call themselves a Christian, but you're like, man, you call yourself a Christian, but you are super rude, and I don't get it. I don't understand how you can be like called a Christian and act so mean. And that was one thing as I've talked to different people and some of my friends from school who are like, well, I don't know why I should become a Christian because a lot of the Christians I know are just jerks. And I'm like, I don't, you know. I mean, sometimes that's how it goes. But those might be people who call themselves Christians because maybe they do truly believe in what Jesus has said. Maybe they do have that actual belief and they agree with what he says, but they have definitely not taken steps to become a disciple. Because what's the mark of a disciple? Love, perfect. And so if they're not showing that love, they're not moving in the steps of being a disciple. And so that's the difference I want you guys to see, is that you can just be a Christian, you can say you're a Christian, but not do anything about it. So which one are you? Are you someone who just says it or someone who acts on it? So for those of you in the room who are brand new Christians or you're just kind of checking out church for the first time, first I'm excited that you're here. Thank you for coming. And I'm not trying to say that you need to decide today if this is for you. If you're like, oh man, so Kyle's saying that I have to just verbally commit to Jesus and then run right over here and then start taking all these steps and this is my first time in church and I just don't know. What I'm trying to tell you today is this is what it actually means to be a Christian. That being a Christian doesn't just stop here with saying, oh yes, I believe in Jesus. Jesus saved my life. That's the first step and that's a super critical, important first step. But the next step is to start taking action and start loving people and start sharing your faith openly. So what I want you to know is that that's what it looks like to be a Christian. I want to sort of debunk the myth of, oh yeah, as soon as you pray the prayer, life gets better and easy, and that's kind of it. As soon as you pray that prayer, you're done. Praying that prayer is the beginning. And there's so much more after that. So the last thing I wanted to say as I close is there some of you in the room who are just kind of content to call yourselves Christians, who are kind of on this side of the table and are just like, yeah, no, it's okay. I'm okay being here. I like it. And that's fine. But ultimately, what Jesus wants us to do, what God's will is for our life, is to become his disciples. So what I challenge you guys to do today is find that next step for you. To find the next step that can help you from just saying that you believe in Jesus to acting on the fact that you truly do believe. And if you don't know what to do, go ahead and take out your comm card. Actually, go ahead and take out your comm card right now. If you haven't had a chance to fill it out, go ahead and fill it out. But if you don't know what to do, go ahead and flip that card over. And on the back, there's a bunch of ministry teams to get involved with. And if you're just really not sure what to do, just write, like, next step on the back. And one of us will get in contact with you because we really want to help all of you guys be more involved and to make that step from being just a Christian to being a disciple. So I'm going to go ahead and invite the ushers forward.